Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is. Thank you, everyone, and thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for turning on your computer and listening to this show. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, internet radio. We're all over the world, folks. I get calls and compliments on what I'm doing from all over the world. And that's what keeps me doing it. It really does. It keeps me doing it. And as so many people will tell you, it takes time to build an audience. Sometimes it takes years to build an audience, especially to build the kind of audience that you want to stay with you all the time. And in order for an audience to stay with you, you have to be good at what you do. Even if to keep people buying your books, your stories, or your essays or whatever, downloading your material that you have written, you have to, prove to them that your writing is worth their time. And I have to prove to you that being on the radio in Chicago and you're listening is worth your time. Nobody wants to waste their time, whether they're listening to the radio or whether they're reading a book or a story. They don't want to be wasting their time. So if you have to make sure that you're good at what you do. You're good at what you do, they will come. They will come. If you have something that they want, they will come. I guess what I'm saying is just be good at what you do and be determined to be even better. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm broadcasting live out of Chicago. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for archiving the program. Thanks for telling me whether you're giving me good feedback or negative feedback. I'll take it. The negative feedback, I just hope it's kind of constructive, because I always take the negative feedback and try to see how I can make things better. But you know what? That's giving me negative feedback are just mean and nasty, and I ignore those people. But I'll take the good with the bad. I think we all should. We got in this day and age, we have to have a thick skin, folks. You can't get too pissed off at somebody who's saying something who's a million miles away. It goes back to don't worry about things that you cannot control. Don't worry about people who you cannot reach or control. Some people are just nasty and just like going around just trying to make other people beside themselves feel inferior. So, be the best you can be. That's all I can say. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. And I would like to apologize to the people who are listening to the show. Sometimes the show cracks up. Sometimes, we get bad weather in Chicago, and wow, there goes the George Wilder Jr. Show, at least for that day and that time. Sometimes I can, the show is back up and on in an instant, but sometimes it's down and out until the next day, until the next evening. But, this show will always be here as far as I'm concerned. you know, things. I love it. I love doing it. I love doing it. This is one show that there is no commercials. You know, only thing I have cue up some music, but that's about it. Or the commercials that I myself make, or the commercials that my son produces. But other than that, there's no commercials. I've had people try to tell me that I should do sponsorships for the show. That means putting commercials on the show, and they will pay me to do that. But I haven't really gotten into that yet. Maybe I don't have the time to do that. You know, I mean, this show is, 1.5 hours, 2 hours long, you know. I think I can fill in enough clips for that. But it's a possibility. It's a possibility that things can change, hopefully for the better. And like I said before, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank everybody for listening, downloading, and putting up with me and my ever-ending postings on Facebook and all that kind of thing. And it's fun. All of it's fun, and I try to do it in a great, great spirit. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, 347-857-1762. And if you listen only to me, I know that's hard for some people, but with all this media and stuff and social media and all this kind of stuff, it's hard to listen to me, but it's not that hard. You know, it's not. I mean, if you miss a show, you miss a lot, because I try to put the kitchen sink in some of the shows. Some of the things I have on the show, I can't ever get to because I'm too busy running my mouth about other things that I think that are more important. But yesterday I had a smart quiz question on the show. I didn't get a chance to give you the answer to it, but I'm going to give you that answer now. I believe the question was, what does the Constitution do? And the answer, folks, is the Constitution, if you don't know already, I'm pretty sure you do, my audience is smart, is the Constitution sets up a government, you know, and most governments and some states and countries, the Constitution is the law of the land, like here in the United States. So, and we also have a smart quiz question for today. What is that? What does the Constitution do? And then I have a question. What is the Constitution? I try to make these things easy. I don't want to make anything hard for anybody. Okay. Obviously, the Constitution is the law of the land, in case I forget to tell anybody. But you can always debate these questions for yourself. That's why I put them up there. I try to make the show a little bit, you know, fun. Try to get away from some of the seriousness and just, you know, hang out and laugh and all that kind of stuff and smile and do those kinds of things while listening to the show. It's a fun show. I've been told it's a fun show. And I've been told that I'm a great host. You know, but I always see it as trying to get better and to be better. I'm looking at my computer screen and Facebook is popping up. My friends on Facebook are popping up. You know, I can't do Facebook now. Now, people, I'm on the radio. Go to the computer. I can't do it now. I can't do LinkedIn now. All right. I can't do it. I can't do Google now. I'm on the radio. Okay. All right, let's move right along. And you know what? I always start this show off, if I can say it, talking about the weather. It is great. The weather is great. It looks gray, and it looks like it's going to be storming in a little while. And if it does, then we know what's going to happen to the internet. Hopefully not here, not today, but we're always cautious. But it's about 59 degrees outside, inland 59. Probably 49 near the lake because it's always cooler. But it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful time. Tomorrow they say it's going to be almost 70 in Chicago. I hope it's great where you are. If the weather is bad where you are, make sure you take cover and protect yourself. Stay away from the windows. Get to a basement or the bathroom if there's a tornado or high velocity of winds in your neck of the woods in your area. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, let's move right along, folks. Let's move. Donald Trump goes full anti-woman, suggests punishment for women who abort. You know, I try not to talk about Donald Trump because I really don't want to give him any publicity because he's getting enough of it already, free publicity from the mainstream media. But the guy keeps saying stuff that you have to talk about. You just have to talk about, because he's always saying something stupid. You know, I said something earlier today that Donald Trump is too stupid to realize that he's unfit to be president of a dog pound. And the more I see Donald Trump, hear him talk, the more I realize that I was spot on, you know, spot on in saying that. This guy is alienating women like I don't know what. I can't see one woman really voting for him. Oh, Carly Fiorina, she's a nut. She's crazy. Maybe Sarah Palin, that's another wacko. But mainstream women, middle-class women, because he's always treating them and saying, demoralizing them. They're inferior. Women under Donald Trump is inferior. And I can't understand why so many black women are supporting him. So many black pastors and ministers are giving Donald Trump their support. I just don't understand this. When this man comes out and says all these crazy ass things, he doesn't know anything about government, governing. He doesn't know. I'm not a Ted Cruz fan, but Ted Cruz is way smarter than Donald Trump. 70% before he made this gaffe, before he made it, he was 70% of the women were totally against Donald Trump. Now it may be 100% of the women are totally against Donald Trump. This guy, he doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't think before he talks. This totally not presidential. From what I'm hearing, if he doesn't win Wisconsin, which his buddy is the governor, Scott Walker, if he doesn't win Wisconsin, the Republicans may have a lot of momentum in trying to and wanting to and probably stopping Donald Trump, because this is what they want. Donald Trump is an embarrassment, not only to the Republicans, but to the United States as a whole. This guy is something else. And I'm hearing now that he has backtracked off of what he is said about women. It says as women who abort their children should be punished. Now that's crazy. I mean, if you abort your child, you shouldn't. I mean, I'm against abortion. I think I'm pro-life, but you know, I'm pro-life if the, you know, in terms of letting a fetus live. You know, I'm against abortion. I think, you know, I'm pro-life. And Donald Trump is saying that any woman who aborts her child should be punished. And a lot of the women rights and a lot of women groups and females all around the country, boy, they are up in over this. And suddenly Donald Trump backtracks. He very seldom backtracks on anything he says, but he backtracks on this one. I mean, the guy is shooting himself in the foot. Donald Trump, I mean, even if he was high in the polls now, he done lost a lot of support. There is no doubt about it, because he keep making these stupid statements, these dumb statements. He talks out of the side of his face. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He tried, Donald Trump doesn't know, he just talks. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what he means when he talks. And if you ask him a question where he doesn't know something, he's not going to say, I don't know, or I'm going to check it out later. He just lies and pretends like he knows, or he tries to change the subject or pivot away from answering a direct question. He makes every issue that he talks about, he pivots, he turns, and he starts talking about himself. Oh, look at the crowds. These crowds are great. You know, I had 1,000 people coming here. The people are great. They're going to vote for me. He pivots. You can ask him about foreign policy. You can ask him about United States policy. He will not answer a direct question. He will try to dodge it. and start talking about something else. And he'll take that something else that he's talking about, turn it around on himself, and start talking about himself and talking about the people out there who are coming to his rallies instead of answering a question that he's going to have to deal with as president of the United States if he ever makes it. I don't think he's going to make it. I actually think Donald Trump has shot himself in the foot, and I actually think that Ted Cruz is going to wind up being the Republican front runner for the office of the president of the United States. Donald Trump, he doesn't know crap. He doesn't know anything. And he'll say things like, well, I got to check it out. I got to see about it. That's still up in the air. But because he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He's being force-fed information from those around him. And that's what has to keep being done. When he says Donald Trump, when he dodges a question, he dodges this, or he pivots, it means that he doesn't know the answer. It means that he has to check with his handlers, his people around him, for the answer, and they force-fed him the answers. But you applying for the highest office in the land, and you don't know anything. You say things that shoot yourself in the foot. You got the Republican establishment trying to warning you out. I don't know. I kind of feel sorry for the guy. You know, I mean, stupidity has never been so stupid before. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump said Wednesday that there has to be some form of punishment for abortion if it were banned in the United States, as he said it should be. He's saying abortion should be banned and that punishment should fall on the women. He said that, folks, and I'm unquoting. He said it. I mean, it's in a soundbite. It's on videotape, so he cannot deny it. I don't think he's lying about it. I think he's just he saw and heard the uproar over his statements, and he backtracked. He backtracked with a statement from the establishment. Republican establishment gave him a statement. You know, and he used it. I don't know. I don't know how much is going to work for him, because this is not the only time that Donald Trump has said something controversial and said something that's plain old stupid. Okay, Trump, who is currently struggling with women voters, and he's going to be struggling even more because of this controversial statement saying that they should be punished for aborting their children. What kind of punishment? Chris Matthews asked him, what kind of punishment? He could never nail Trump down on that. Okay, Matthews asked whether abortion should be punished, and Trump initially skated around the issue. He said some Republicans would say it should be, and that he would say it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem we have to decide on. Then he was asked by Matthews, but didn't answer his question. Are you going to say put them in jail? And added he was anti-abortion and that you have to ban abortion. Okay, this is Trump. There has to be some sort of punishment, Trump said. Wow, for women who abort. Yeah, when Matthews asked if he meant for women, the host asked that punishment would be closer to 10 days or 10 years. And Trump said he didn't know. Trump indicated that he would be far more lenient on the man who impregnated a woman who had an abortion. He said that he did not think they would bear the same level of responsibility. Man, this guy does not need to be nowhere near president's office in Washington, D.C. Wow. This is something else. And the women are fighting back. They are responding back to Donald Trump. Someone named Kathy Smith, a a caretaker of people with disabilities in a nearby Fremont said a woman should be able to do whatever she wants. And I agree with that. Lucy Debord, a sanitarian who recently moved to Wisconsin from New Jersey, says she didn't agree with Trump. Who does agree with Trump? But she added the issue of abortion was far down the totem pole when compared to national security. I didn't vote based on abortion, she said. And, you know, some of Donald Trump supporters, they are sticking with him. They are sticking by him. You know why? Because they're saying that Donald Trump is not a part of the establishment. He's an outside candidate. He's not born and bred Washington. He's an outsider. And a lot of them are just ignoring his gaffes, which is crazy. I'm going to still vote for Donald Trump. He can make all the mistakes he wants. He can say what he wants. But when you got 70% of the women saying they're not going to vote for you or they're against you, you have a problem. That was before he said this stuff. There might be 100% now against him, but I doubt it. Maybe 90 to 95. There are going to be a few knuckleheads out there that's going to try and explain this away to why they're still supporting Trump. It's not going to hold water, but that's just, that would be just them. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's getting dark. Wow, 6:21. It looks to be kind of stormy. It's going to be kind of stormy. And, you know, it looks scary. Actually, that's what I'm saying. Dark, gray, and scary. As if, it's going to be raining all night long. At least that's what the meteorologists say. And, who knows? Who knows? You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. All right, let's take a break right here. We've been talking about Donald Trump. We're going to have to move on. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It seems like Donald Trump is in panic mode. He is going across the media and social media saying that I didn't mean what I said. This is his quote. I didn't mean what I said about women punishing them because they may want an abortion. He's saying, I didn't mean it. Wow. This guy. Folks, I'm telling you, this is too funny to be too real and for someone to be in the number one position to be president of the United States, and this guy is just off the... He's off the rails, actually. He is... Okay, he's saying, I didn't mean what I said. Donald, he doesn't think before he talks. You running for President of the United States. What comes out of your mouth is going to be national news. And I actually think Donald's going to have a hard time winning the nomination because of this. He could lose every state down the road because of this. And he looks like he has been whipped. This billionaire looks like he has been whipped by the things that he's saying. Nobody's doing this to Donald. Donald is shooting himself in the foot. No one else is doing this. And he is now saying that he is sorry. He didn't mean to say it. His words are that he did not mean to say it. I didn't mean to say this. It would have been better for him to say that I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was talking about. I should have studied it. I should have read up on it. I should have took a few more college classes before I said this kind of thing. You know, so because this is bad. This is awful. Okay, Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump said Wednesday that there has to be some form of punishment for abortion if it is banned in the United States. Wow. And this is awful. And he is totally struggling with women voters. Okay. But the thing is, we've already talked about that. I don't want to go over that again. But I just want to say that for all of you who didn't hear this, I want to say this again. Donald Trump is saying that he didn't mean to say what he said. Wow. Wow. Okay, I'm going to try my best, folks. I'm going to not to talk about Donald Trump. I mean, but this guy gives you so much ammunition to talk about it, I'm going to try not to do that. I'm going to take a commercial break here. Not a commercial break, but a short break. Be right back. Thanks. Oh, wow. Yesterday I was talking about that. I'm going to be, we're going to be downtown Friday in the city of Chicago for the one day action that some of the strikers are taking downtown on Friday the 1st. There's going to be teachers striking. There's going to be other companies striking. There's going to be a lot of people down there that's going to be against Bruce Rauner. I'm not going to be down there for the teachers. I'm going to be down there for the folks who are against this governor, because we still do not have a budget in the city of Chicago, and we have to really get that resolved. I don't think it's ever going to be resolved. I don't think this guy wants a budget. I think he wants to see Illinois destroyed and then blame other people for it. There's got to be a reason why we don't have a budget, and it can't be anybody but him. He's blaming the legislature. The legislature is blaming him. And Chicago State, the prestigious African-American university, is on the brink of closing down. They're handing out pink slips. People are turning in keys. Students are being, they don't know where they're going to find themselves because of this budget crisis in the state of Illinois. So we're going to be down there protesting that. But I don't think it's going to do one thing for, I don't think it's going to do one thing to move Governor Rauner, and I don't think it's going to do one thing to move the legislature. But we have to make our voices heard. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for being with me, everybody. Thank you so much. Let's go to the phones. All right. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hey, it's Julie Caraccio.
Go right ahead.
It's Julie Caraccio.
I know, Julie. I got your information in front of me. All right. I didn't want to pronounce your last name because I didn't want to mess it up.
It gets mispronounced.
Thank you for being on the show.
No, I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
No problem. Give us a little bit of bio and give us a little bit of your bio.
Sure. I am an award-winning professional organizer, and I am passionate about helping people clear clutter. I take a very holistic view. A lot of times people, when they think of clutter, they'll think physical clutter, books, you know, you're a writer. A lot of creative people tend to have different piles of things. And then some people take it a step further and they'll think about mental clutter, you know, what I call monkey mind, going 24/7, not being able to stop. But I also focus on emotional clutter, such as how you treat yourself. Are you kind to yourself? Spiritual clutter. Are you living your passion? Are you being authentically you? Are you wasting time comparing yourself to others? And energetic clutter. How does your space feel? As a writer, or if you're at the office, how does it feel to be in there? Are you excited or do you feel drained?
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. And do you have a book? Are you an author? Have you authored a book or books?
I have. I don't know if technically you'd call it a book. I consider it a workbook or a course. It's called How to Declutter Your Life. And as someone who does a lot of writing, I do a show, a podcast, not as many days. Hats off to you. Doing a show 4 days a week takes a heck of a lot of work, but it's a self-guided course to support people in clearing clutter. And I'm also about to have a journal come out, hopefully in the next month. I'm working on that now. So I'm absolutely excited about it.
Oh, great, great, great. And what do you exactly mean when you say, you explained it a little bit earlier, but when you're talking about clearing the clutter out of your life, you're not talking about, are you talking about in general or mentally, or what are you talking about clearing out the clutter of your life, your people, or?
All of it. When we work on the inside, we create our reality. So whatever is showing up in your life is on the inside. So if you start to clear physical clutter, it's going to have an effect on your emotions, on your mental state. You start to clear out your emotions, it's going to affect your physical clutter. The reality is, I think most of us have clutter to some extent. It's whether can we manage it or is it overwhelming us? You know, you mentioned relationships. Are you surrounded by people who think you're awesome and support you as a writer and say, hey, I'm going to review your book. I'm going to download your book. I'm going to recommend your book. Or people are like, oh man, pie in the sky dream. You're never going to be a writer. You're never going to succeed. There are too many books out there. Well, those negative relationships to me are clutter. And so I encourage people to clear what's not serving them.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. I tell people all the time to get the negative out of their life. And in terms, you're saying that the negative is part of that clutter that may be stopping them from being the best that they can be.
Oh, absolutely. I consider clutter, first of all, is delayed decisions. If you can't make a decision on something, but clutter is stuck, stagnant energy. If you were going to look at it from an energetic perspective, but it doesn't serve you.
Are you a life coach?
I do that as well. It's kind of what it evolved in as I started professional organizing. And what I found what happened, I get people organized, but truly to get organized, you need to clear clutter. And I never make anyone release anything or throw it out, but I definitely encourage it. And so what I found is the more I did this work, and really it was one client that showed me, I'm like, you really need to incorporate this coaching aspect more, was I went over to her house and she said, I just want to talk. And I said, okay. And it made me a little nervous because I'm a go, go, go person. And I thought, gosh, we've got to get everything decluttered and organized. And because I listened, she was able to articulate where her clutter came from. So I work in usually 4-hour blocks on physical clutter. We probably talked 3.5 and spent the last half hour organizing. She's like, after you left, I was able to do so much. Come back in and we're going to do another room and talk about other stuff. And so that really led me on the path to incorporating coaching as well. I got a coaching mentorship certificate and worked one-on-one with someone for a year. And I find coaching invaluable. I have a coach that I talk to. I consider a healer, mentor, coach, all rolled into one, that I see monthly, that just has made my life immensely better.
So basically you're taking some of the things that, that you have experienced and trying to help others with it. Also, because you've also gotten rid of clutter out of your life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm very passionate about sharing what I've learned. I also think something that's key is that you can learn something from someone, but you need to own it and make it your own and give it to someone that way. I think just copying from someone and taking what someone else did, it just doesn't work. That's not you. It's not authentic. And people, I believe, sense that. But you have to put your spin on it and take your experience and share that.
Oh, wow. I'm in my studio here, and I'm looking out of the window, and it is pouring down, raining. It is coming down. And I'm hoping it doesn't thunder or lightning or really, really bad weather, because that would interrupt the radio show. Wow.
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not. Okay, let's move right along. What do you mean by awaken your brilliance?
Well, it's reawaken your brilliance. And what that means to me is, you know, we're born and we're perfect and we're awesome. And, you know, babies can put their foot in their mouth and be like, life is good.
Yes.
But then we grow up, and whether it's a parent, whether it's a school teacher, whether it's friends, whether it's society, along the way, we forget that we're brilliant. We forget we're unique. We forget that we're amazing beings who are meant to go out and share their passion with the world. And so to me, what I see my job in supporting people is to help them remember and to reawaken their brilliance. Everyone's brilliant, whether you're the best writer. And by that, I mean the best writer that you can be. If you change one person from a book you wrote, that's, to me, the same as if you were a New York Times bestseller, because you've impacted someone, you've changed a life, you've done something positive. So whatever it is, you're a janitor, be the best janitor you can be. Have pride
of
in what
course.
You do.
Of course. Be the best that you can be. And if you're the best of what you can be, others are going to come. And you have to be the best of what you can be, because other people, it's kind of like a sponge. It's going to drive other people towards you, because people love other people who are successful, I think. And what do you think?
I would agree with that, but I really believe the more work I've done and what I've studied is everything's energy. So like attracts like. If you're putting love and gratitude out there, you're going to attract that into your life. If you're putting out other things, you're going to attract that into your life as well. And so I think that people resonate with where you are. And so, for instance, I will get a certain type of client. I'm not a person who I probably wouldn't be attracted to me, but would say be a high powered business executive. I'm probably not a good match for them. It doesn't mean that if someone was very spiritual and had a high powered job, then we would probably be a better fit. But someone who's very just very masculine, very hardcore, very business is probably not a good match. It doesn't mean either of us are good or bad. It's just we're not resonating on the same frequency.
Mm-hmm. And how do you, on a scale from 1 to 10, how do you rate your success?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. Let's see, my first question would be, well, what's your definition of success? Do you mean success in business, how I've helped others, success in my marriage? I mean, that's just how my brain works.
Your success in helping people to get the clutter out of their lives.
I say it's 10 plus when people meet me halfway. I can only show you the way. You've got to do the homework. You've got to, once we've worked together, you've got to continue it. I found that the people who are most successful that work with me are ready to change and they're willing to do the work.
Julie? Julie, yes. Are you there? Okay, I thought we would cut off.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay, I thought I heard a phone go click. Okay.
Oh, no, gosh, no.
All right. How can a lot of people, if they're interested in this, and this sounds like a great subject, getting a clutter out of your life. I think that's great because, like you said, most people do have clutter in their life. And how would they go about finding more about your services?
They can go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com, and I've got everything. It's just the site was redone, so hopefully it'll be a good user experience for everyone. But everything is reawakenyourbrilliance.com, and I also have a podcast, Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out, which is free. So if people are looking for tips to clear clutter, they can easily get that information as well.
Okay, and what about your pamphlet or your book? Where can people find that?
Oh, that's on reawakenyourbrilliance.com, and I have a tab for store, and you can go there and read in detail about what the course is about.
Okay, is there anything you haven't said that you want to tell my audience and Julie?
No. I appreciate – I just appreciate the opportunity to talk, and that – when you clear your clutter, you can create the life you choose, deserve, and desire.
Oh, wow. Thanks for being on the show, Julie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Julie Cariano on the show, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's go and do this. I will be right back, folks. Stay with me. Okay.
We have to win Missouri. That's what I have to win.
Okay, that was Donald Trump, folks. That was Donald Trump, and I didn't mean to. We clicked the wrong button there, didn't we? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'll be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me, everybody. I will be right back. Thank you.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
My name is Carol Howell, and I'm with UC Davis Center for Healthy Aging, and it is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Laura Mosqueda. She is the Chief of Geriatrics at UC Irvine School of Medicine, and she's a professor of family medicine and holds the Ronald W. Reagan Endowed Chair in Geriatrics. She sees patients at the UC Irvine Senior Health Center and participates in research and education as well. And her topic today is on elder abuse.
Thank you. Thanks, Carol. It's a pleasure to be here to talk to you about this important topic of elder abuse. It's going to be a challenging topic, though. This is something that we don't talk about very often, and I think we really need to start challenging everybody in our society to think about this issue of elder abuse and understand it a little bit more. It's challenging in a number of different ways. I want people to imagine what it's like in terms of what elder abuse really is, to really ponder what it means to people, to take it beyond just the fact that, oh, that's a real shame that this occurs in our society, but to understand it as the trauma it really is to the people who are directly affected by it and everybody who loves them. I want you to acknowledge that this really exists, and I'm going to prove it to you as we talk today. And I want you to believe two things. I want you to believe that anyone can be a victim and anyone can be a perpetrator. And this, I think, is particularly challenging for us to really understand and take in. Well, what do we mean when we talk about elder abuse? There are a variety of categories of elder abuse as defined in state law in California, and I have them listed here on the screen: physical, sexual, financial abuse, neglect by other people towards somebody, neglecting yourself, issues of abandonment and abduction where people are actually taken across state lines, and psychological abuse. All of these types of abuse that I've just mentioned are reportable abuse. In other words, we are required, many of us, to report these to the state if we have a suspicion, although psychological abuse or emotional abuse is an optional report. We're going to focus in on the topic of physical abuse, neglect, and some issues related to sexual abuse as well. I'm going to go through a few examples, and unfortunately I have to tell you that these examples are based on real cases that I have been involved in. Here's an example of financial abuse. A 55-year-old woman who threatens her mother, if you don't sign on the dotted line to pay for my car, you're going to go into a nursing home. Another example, a 30-year-old man who befriends a widow. She's lonely, she's depressed, she lost her husband less than a year ago. And what people who are sort of predators will often do is find a hole, a gap, an emotional need somebody has, and fill that. And what does he do? He obtains the password for her ATM card and offers to help her buy groceries. And then he also helps himself to cash so that he has some for his own spending to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars over a period of a year. Examples of physical abuse: pulling somebody's hair, in fact, dragging somebody by their hair across a carpet, throwing food or objects at somebody, denying access to pain medication, slapping, hitting, punching. A recent case I'm involved in involves a 16-year-old girl who was punching her grandmother in the face. These are the sad realities of what's going on. One of the more hidden types of abuse that I'd like to bring to your attention has to do with neglect. And before I give you some examples of neglect, I think it deserves a little bit of an explanation. When we talk about neglect, we're talking about a relationship, somebody who has assumed responsibility or care and custody for another individual who's unable to care for themselves. And when this person who has assumed this responsibility does not provide appropriate care, such as basics, food, clothing, and shelter, medical care, making sure the person's hygiene is reasonably taken care of, looking after things like health and safety hazards, when these things are not attended to in a reasonable way, we call this neglect. Here are some of the examples that I've seen. People who are lying in urine and feces, and I don't just mean a dirty diaper for a few minutes here or there. I mean people who are lying in their own urine and feces for hours, days, weeks at a time. People who have very elongated, filthy nails, matted hair, living in filthy conditions. People who are not fed or given fluids and they become malnourished and dehydrated. It's not good enough for somebody who's unable to get around to just leave some food at the bedside if they can't reach for it and feed themselves. People who develop deep open wounds that we call pressure sores, sometimes all the way down to their bones, because no one has repositioned them and they're unable to move on their own. These are some examples of neglect that we see. Well, how common is this problem of elder abuse? It's a great, great question, but it's a very hard one to answer. As you can imagine, it's hard to just knock on somebody's door and say, is anybody abusing grandma? So the question then becomes, how do we figure out how common a problem it is? We also need to understand that there are some difficulties in establishing abuse related to people's reluctance to even admit it's occurring. Not only can we not knock on the door to ask if anybody's abusing grandma, but grandma might not want to tell us if there's abuse going on. She might be ashamed that her own grandson is doing this to her. Many older adults fear losing their independence and, in fact, would rather remain at home in an abusive situation than go to a facility such as a nursing home. Again, a very sad reality. And unlike children, older adults can just sort of fade quietly away in our society and nobody thinks about it, nobody questions it. With kids, if they don't show up at school, we wonder what has happened to them. But we're very accepting of older adults sort of disappearing, oh, they got sick and you never see them again. So it's hard to know really what's going on sometimes. People who are being abused might be so incapacitated physically, cognitively, emotionally, that they're unable to even report that they're being abused. So people might be too incapacitated to report, but the other thing that sometimes occur is that signs of abuse may be missed or mistaken for usual aging. After all, it's pretty common to have bruises as we get older. It's not uncommon to have a hip fracture, and so it can be really difficult to tell whether or not some of these injuries were a result of abuse or just something that happened by mistake. So I'm going to give you our best guess or guesstimate in terms of how common abuse is, but we also want to recognize that it probably is an underestimate. The best study we have so far is called the National Elder Abuse Incident Study, published 10 years ago now, 1998, where there was some attempt to quantify the problem. And this is what they found, is that in a one-year period, there were 236,000 reports of senior.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, they are, the prosecutors in Chicago have confirmed they will not retry Rob Blagojevich, the former governor of this state of Illinois. He was a lot better than the governor we have now. And you know what? I get tired of when I'm watching national news and they're showing a map of the United States, you know, partially red and partially blue. And I see the state of Illinois and I look at it and it's red. It may be red on the map, but it's blue right here where I am. Because we have a governor, it could be because we have a Republican governor. The reason why it's red, they're signaling that this is a red state. This, it may be a red state, but this is a blue city, a blue collar city. It may be a red state, but it's a blue city. And I mean, this guy is totally getting the shaft. There's no doubt about it. He's getting the shaft. I mean, he's been in jail for, three or four years now? That could be time served. But this crazy-ass judge, I won't call his name, he gave Rob Blagojevich 14 years. 14 years. Drug addicts don't do that much time. And basically, all Rob Blagojevich, former governor, Rob Blagojevich did was talk on the phone. He might have been bullheaded. He might have said some things that he shouldn't have said, but there was nothing concrete, nothing tangible that they could get him on. Basically, what I'm saying, folks, the man didn't do anything. He pleaded for them to not impeach him, but they did it anyway. He did exactly nothing, talking on the phone. They're saying that he was trying to trade Obama's Senate seat when Obama was in the Senate in Illinois. And they're saying now that there was so much evidence that was not admitted at the trial that could have exonerated him that they refused to show it. Rob Begorovich is innocent. He didn't do anything. There's a lot of people around the state of Illinois thinking and saying the same thing. Let this man go. Free this guy. He didn't do anything. All he did was talk. He didn't trade. No, he may have talked about trading a seat. I don't know. But it did not actually happen. I can talk about trading a seat. Until it happens, that's when you lock people up, when it happens. I can say a lot of things, too, but unless I do them, you can't touch me. But the reason why Begorovich is in jail, folks, is because plainly they did not like him. Maybe it was his hair. He thought he was Elvis or some at one point. From what I hear, he was a big fan of Elvis Presley. Maybe. That's why, you know, he combed his hair to the side. But he was the governor of Illinois. He had a swag in his walk. I just think that a lot of people didn't like him. And I think that the judge who gave him 16 years in prison but for nothing did not like him. And that's evident. They did not like him. But even though he went to jail, he was for the people. I mean, he was right there for grassroots people, poor people, middle class. And the powers that be didn't like that. They sent him to jail. And now he can't get out for anything. For anything. And I totally disagree with this. I disagree with it. It was a sham trial, a sham impeachment. Everything was sham that happened to this guy. He didn't deserve any of it. He didn't deserve none of what they gave him, you know, two or three years ago. He didn't deserve any of this. 2 days after the United States Supreme Court declined to hear former Rod Begorovich appeal, federal prosecutors announced that they don't plan to retry him on 5 counts that a lower appellate court tossed out last year. So Rob Begorovich lost out twice. Supreme Court declined to hear his appeal. That's one. Federal prosecutors announced that they don't plan to retry him at all. So he's lost. He's lost out on both counts. For some reason, they want him to stay in jail. And it's not right. It's not. It's unfair. His impeachment should have been enough punishment. I mean, he's been in jail for 3 or 4 years. That should be enough punishment. Matter of fact, I think that's over punishment because he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. And I'm not the only one saying this. Most of us in Illinois felt that this guy didn't do anything because I was right there when they were upping the charges on this guy and when they impeached him. And I was all into it. It's just wrong. All right. Hopefully someday at some point in some time, you know, he's going to. But for him to do 14 years for talking on the phone and being a bullhead and being bullheaded, it's just wrong. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here. I want to thank my guest for appearing on the show, getting the clutter out of your life. I like that. Getting the clutter out of your life. And your clutter can be anything. It can be people. It can be garbage and junk in your closet. She's talking about clutter, anything that can tie you down to keep you from being the best that you can be. And I totally agree with her on that. I totally agree with her. Get the clutter out of your life. And I have a question up here. What motivates you? If, you know, 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we have a smart quiz question. What does the Constitution do? Okay, we should have those answers when I come back, folks. Stay with me. All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Almost got some dead air in there. All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we've been talking about Rob Borovitch and how he was shafted by the Illinois prosecutors, the justice system, because he didn't do anything. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It is 7:02 Chicago time, p.m., and it is very, very interesting. Like I said before, Chicago State and a lot of other public universities, Illinois universities, are closing their doors, and it's sad because students and teachers and the entire faculty of these institutions are being upended. Wow. And we have workers tonight that's going to be striking. They're going to be going on strike if they haven't gone on strike already at the O'Hare Airport. So that's interesting. Of course, they want more money, better conditions, and they want to be better trained. they want more money. It's just a mess in Chicago, folks. The Chicago teachers are striking. They want more money. And from my understanding, they're the highest paid teachers in America right now. And they want more money. I mean, and the taxes in the city is, wow, man. And they're talking about people that have left the city and left this and left the state and they're gone. And it's a lot to talk about. The news is ever ending. There's always something to talk about. There's something to talk about politically. And I understand that there's a lot of people out there who aren't politically inclined. That's fine. That's okay. That's fine. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 7:03 straight up. It's getting dark. It's been raining. The rain has been really off and on here. And I'm surprised that I haven't had as many technical difficulties during the harsh weather that I've had a few days ago on some shows. If you listen to some of those shows, you can tell that they're cracking up, breaking up, or whatever. That has something to do, hopefully, with the weather. And usually all my guests, they understand. You know, they just want to get on and get off. And basically that's what I want them to do. And but all my guests, they're great, they're wonderful. And I love Julie because she talks about getting a clutter out of your life, and that's what it's all about. And living the best life you want to live. I am not a motivational speaker. I am not a life coach. I am just a guy out here that has gotten some of the clutter out of his life. I've gotten clutter out of my life. And I feel good about that. But that clutter will keep on trying to get at you. Make sure you keep the clutter. The clutter can be somebody who's saying things negative about you. That's clutter. Clutter can be stuff that's building up in your closet. Clutter. You know, anything that's bringing you down or making you feel worthless or depressed. And we don't want that on the George Wilder Jr. Show. That's why I am always having life coaches on the show, more so than political people doing political reviews. I want people to straighten out their lives, you know, and because you're going to need that to make it in the world. The world is more tougher to make it in the world today than it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. It is really rough. A high school degree, most importantly, a college or university degree, they're not up to what they used to be. You've got so many people with these degrees that are working at jobs. If they're working at all, they're working at jobs below what they've majored in and the money they've spent trying to get a good job. And on top of that, they're in astronomical debt. So we have to do the best we can to be the best we can. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, and I will be right back, folks. I promise I'll be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All Okay, this is going to be something like the rally we're going to be dealing with.
Let me just say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs, and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this kind of state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. Illinois is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like there's people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say so in what happens with this.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. And everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on LaSalle Street that make billions of billions of dollars. And I'm like the governor, quite frankly. I don't want to raise taxes, but I want everybody to pay their fair share. And they are making some transactions that they're not paying taxes on. So the only thing I'm saying to the governor, make sure that everybody's in, including my baby, and nobody's left out, including your friends. So with that being said, Mr. Governor, let us go back to Springfield. You want a budget? Let's talk about a budget. Let us gather the money from the guys on LaSalle Street and let's have a financial transaction tax. And then when we get finished doing that, Mr. Governor, let's develop our own bank like North Dakota. And if that's not enough, Mr. Governor, let's get rid of the insurance industry and have a single payer health care so everybody can truly be in and nobody be left out.
Don't mess with my children. You know something, we don't have to put up with a bully. A bully cannot win when people stand together. A bully cannot win when you're standing with your brothers and your sisters. A bully can't win when you build coalitions in the neighborhood. A bully only wins when you let
them.
Right now we have a coalition of individuals because we understand what Governor Rauner does not understand, and that is everything is connected. We are connected to one another. Child care is connected to a good education. Education is connected to health care, because you're not going to learn if you're sick. You're not going to learn if you're hungry. That's connected to a good job. That's connected to this state. This is not about one person who doesn't want to turn us around. He wants to turn us backwards. We are not going backwards. This is not we're going to be standing up here in the street, dancing, working for free. This is our state. This is not Ronnerville. This is not...
I agree. I totally agree. This is not Rounersville. I totally agree. This is not Rounersville. This is the state of Illinois. He doesn't own it. He wants to. He wants control of it. He's been weakened by these last two. Excuse me. He's been weakened by these last two elections. He's been weakened. But he's still steadfast in not getting a budget. He's still steadfast in not getting a budget. He's got his minions all over the television screen, spinning what they can't spin. They're spinning lies. They're trying to throw anything out there. You know, a lot of these people come on television and they start talking about this and that, especially pertaining to the government. And you don't know these people. And they're talking to you like you should be listening to them. You should be adhering to what they're saying. Hey, I don't know you. Why should I be listening to you? Who are you? You know, you think I'm dumb that I'm going to take somebody's advice or adhere to somebody I know nothing about? Browner has his minions, his flunkies going all over the state talking. And you've never heard of these people. They're talking, trying to influence you to turn you against the Democratic legislature and go with Browner. Browner, In my estimation, Rounder has been in office over a year. This is his first time ever being a politician. This is the first time he's ever running. He's supposedly running a governmental office, and over a year, not quite 2 years, maybe not quite a year and a half, but it's been over a year since he's been. If he's done anything, he's hurt people. But constructively, he's done nothing. He has done nothing. And he's got his minions all over the television screen. They sound good. They look good. But why should I listen to anybody telling me anything about anything in this state without a budget? You get a budget, and maybe I'll listen to you. I mean, this is crazy. They're having the pension mess. We got the pension mess. We got all these taxes that we're going to be paying that some of us are paying right now. And the rents in Chicago are astronomical. A lot of the rents have gone up $300 to $600 a pop from what they used to be, and people are being priced out. This is especially hitting students hard. This is especially hitting them hard when they're trying to go to school and they've taken out all these loans and they're living in a studio or they're staying in an apartment house or a condo, and the rent has just gone up astronomical. They've been priced out. A lot of people are being priced out because of these high-ass taxes from the city of Chicago, from Cook County, sales taxes, every kind of tax there is being put on Illinoisans. And nobody seems to be acknowledging that. But you can feel it in your pocket. And when you get that rent statement, it's going to kill you. It's going to knock you out. We got to pay for teachers. We got to pay for schools. We got to pay pensions. We got to pay firefighters. And all of this stuff is on the taxpayer. The 1%, instead of putting this stuff on the 1%, the rich people, they're coming to the most vulnerable people and saying, we're going to tax you to death. This is a damn shame. We have to pay for teachers, their salaries, and they're going to be down there striking. We have to pay for the firefighters. We got to pay for police officers who are doing nothing, as I can see, about lowering the crime and violence in the city of Chicago. teachers are striking. They want us to pay more for their salaries, the taxpayers. This is nutty. This is crazy. I can see why some people are leaving Chicago, the state of Illinois. People are leaving. South sides, west sides, north sides, because it's expensive. And the political climate is just rotten. The political climate is just damn rotten. Here's some more on Robert Gorevitch. He's 59 years old, and he reported to a federal prison in Colorado 4 years ago to begin serving a 14-year sentence. I had to say that twice because I still can't believe it. I still can't wrap my head around believing that this guy is going to be serving 14 years for just talking on the phone, maybe saying some things he shouldn't have said. But this is no way. That's no way to be equated to 14 years in jail. And he's been denied twice. Currently, he's been denied twice. And from my understanding, the next time he may get a hearing or something, or he may have a chance of getting out of jail, is 2014. I don't know. It just stinks to high heaven, folks, at what happening to this guy, Robert Gorevitch. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back. Stay with me. Chicken in the sink. You too damn lazy to put it in the sink. And you want to eat. Jesus Christ. Even if it's frozen. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was a little late. But anyway, tomorrow on the show, I'm going to be talking about the book Dark Money by Jane Mayer. It's a great book. It's a wonderful book. It's a political book. It's talking about how money, how so much money, millions and billions of dollars, seep into the presidential elections, political elections, and how, you know, it's just ridiculous, and how politicians are bought and paid for by their billionaire donors, lobbyists. So we're going to get into that a lot by Jane Mayer. She will not be on the show. I'm going to try to get her in as a guest. She would be a great guest, and she can enlighten us on a lot of this stuff. Dark Money. It was I found out about it on another talk show. About this book, and it's a great book. I haven't read it. I've read a summary of it. I've seen excerpts, but it's a great book. It's called Dark Money by Jane Mayer, politically. And if you're not into politics, you probably wouldn't be interested in it. But it's a great book. It's a great book for a learning. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And right here is saying that Bruce Rauner, Chicago State is outraged. Democrats is at fault. This guy is just – he's saying that Democrats are at fault for him snatching the funding from Chicago State and refusing to allow funding. He's got to be nuts. Rauner, Chicago State – Chicago State outrage is Democrats' fault. Okay, Governor Rauner called Chicago State University situation an outrage and pointed his finger at the Democrats. Folks, if you've been listening to this show, you've known just about on every show I talk about Bruce Rauner, and I talk about how he blames others. That's his mantra, is to blame other people for his ineptness, for his inaction. He's blaming others. This is crazy. This is why I'm going to be downtown on the 1st and hopefully rallying against this, guys. The reason why these colleges are closing, these universities are closing their doors, is because of him. He refuses to fund these things. He always blaming Democrats. He always blaming someone else. If he had not been governor, we would have a government with a budget. Since he's been governor, we've had no budget in the state of Illinois. It's been 10 months, and that's his fault. He's always trying to blame someone else, and that pisses me off because we know better. It's him. He's trying to blame Democrats. He's blaming Democrats, but people who are affiliated with these institutions, these schools, they are blaming Bruce Rauner, and rightly so. But he's going to blame other people because he's constantly trying to get Democrats thrown out of office so he can replace them with Republicans. This is why he's constantly blaming Democrats for something that they did not cause. They wouldn't have caused this. They wouldn't have caused this crisis with the colleges and the universities. They wouldn't have done that. Bruce Rauner did this, and he's trying to say the reason why I did this because of the Democrats. This is why they can't negotiate. He's not even at the General Assembly. This guy and the Democrats are supposed to be at the General Assembly, compromising, voting on things, passing budgets, passing this, passing that, funding, paying their damn bills, and this is not happening. Rauner is blaming everybody. It's always a blame game with this guy, and he is the culprit. He is the one who is screwing up this state, and we all know it. We all know it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here with me, folks, if I can say it. And I hope you guys are with me tomorrow. I want to thank my guests. All right, bye-bye.
do. What do you... Huh? So what did you do anything? You just went in and got on the computer? I thought you said you were at the team lounge. How long do you stay in there? For real? Every night? Thank you.